Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Amazing to just experience all that is the wonder of family and relationships at Christmas, but there's something even deeper beyond the gifts. And it's a party that goes beyond family. There's a reason for this season, and I want to unpack it today. And I'm so glad the team did for us that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, because there's a lot of songs that just awaken just the wonder of Christmas. I've got a number of carols that I really, really love. I think my favorite is O Holy Night. I'm not sure there's one that I love more. Silent Night is up there. It's worth doing a little bit of research on the history of Silent Night. It came about when the organ in a church was broken and they had to find a song that they could sing with a guitar. True story. In Germany, hundreds of years ago. And they came up with Silent Night. It's still a classic. One of my current recent favorites is Mary, Did You Know? Ooh. But today we're going to look at the song we just sung. And we're going to look at it for a moment and then discover what Charles Wesley was really talking about when he penned those words in the 1700s. Let me give you the first few words. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The first word of that carol is hark. You know, it's one of those times when a word is a sentence. The word hark means, hey, there's something important, there's something urgent that you need to hear. It's like, have you ever been to a community where there's a town crier? Right? You know, and they walk through and they're ringing a bell. They usually wear really funny clothes and they walk around with a bell going, hear ye, hear ye. That's what's going on right here. Listen up, there's something very, very important to hear. And what is it? It's glory to the newborn king. See, Wesley, when he wrote that carol, was drawing straight from Scripture, and I'm going to take you to it in Luke chapter 2. It says, and there were shepherds. Interesting, we'll come back to that. There were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Don't you love in Scripture when these almighty huge beings called angels rock up and everybody's knees are banging together like Spanish castanets and they say, don't be afraid. Do you ever read and go, yeah, right. Yeah, of course, it happens every day. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, read it with me, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. One of the fascinating aspects of this moment was that the angel of the Lord would visit a group of shepherds. Just for a moment, just come with me to the context of society at that point in time in Israel. Shepherds were of a very low status in society. They were deemed filthy. They were deemed ignorant. They were so looked down upon and seen to be so filthy and dirty, they weren't even allowed to go to the temple. What amazes me about this amazing moment that's going to change human history is the angel of the Lord would come to them. They were not allowed to go to the temple to access the presence of God, so a gracious God says, I'm going to bring my presence to you. How great is our God? And the angel says to them, come on, got something very, very important. Beyond the light show that you're experiencing, beyond the heavenly choir, there's a very, very important message, and it's good news. How many are ready for some good news? We've been overwhelmed recently by bad news. But today we're here to bring good news. The good news is that we have joy instead of fear. joy. When the angels appeared to the shepherds on that incredible evening, it was at a time when Rome was dominating the known world through force, through aggression, and fear gripped much of the human race. But God was sending to the human race the Prince of Peace. That's good news, people. And it was for all people. See, up until then, the religious system had excluded people from the presence of God because of their race, because of their class, because of their background, or certain circumstances, usually which were beyond them and beyond their very reason that had come about. It wasn't their fault. But right now, the good news was that the floodgates were about to open so that all people, anyone from anywhere. This is what's good news, people. This is what's good news about Emmanuel. Anyone from anywhere can know the Holy of Holies, can know the presence and the wonder of the Creator of the universe. And the second verse captures this so beautifully. Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord, laid in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Then this line, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. That big line, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Jesus was fully God, but he's also fully man. Jesus was fully man, but he was also fully God. It's hard to comprehend. It's a little hard to take it in. That's why we need the work of the Holy Spirit to process this. That the Son of God came near to be with us. 700 years before that moment, the prophet Isaiah penned these words. Isaiah 7, verse 14, he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Then, centuries later, Joseph, a good man, engaged to a young lady called Mary, discovers that she's pregnant. And he too has an angelic visitation. And those moments are recorded in Matthew's gospel, the first chapter of the New Testament, verse 20 to 23 of Matthew 1. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Verse 23 of Matthew 1. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. C.S. Lewis captured this brilliantly. He said, the Son of God became a man so that men could become the sons of God. Powerful. Eternity entered time. Divinity entered humanity. And if you start the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, you realize this was always God's grand plan. God would come in human flesh. And I tell you why I can relate to him. I tell you when I pray, I can't say to God who has Jesus sitting at his right hand, I can't say, you wouldn't understand. Because he's walked this dusty planet. I can relate to him, he can relate to me. See, when God sent his son, he didn't send an angel. He didn't send an adult. He didn't send a superhero. He sent a baby. Can you even comprehend this? That the Son of God had to have his nappy changed. I think some of us have just got this sanitized view of what was all going on. You know, Mary had to change his pants, teach him to eat, right? They had to teach him to walk and talk. As a toddler, he fell over. He skinned his knees. He had to learn all the stuff. He had to be educated just like you and I are. Then he went through those growing phases. Luke 2:52, it says Jesus grew in wisdom. There's not much we know between the stable and the Gospels when he's baptized by John. We don't know much, but Luke says, well, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He went through those developmental phases just like you and I are. He went through puberty. We have these lofty images of Jesus with this beautiful, rich, tailored beard. But he had those wispy things hanging off his chin at one point. That voice that spoke to the oceans, peace, be still. He went through that when his voice cracked. Remember that, guys? That's a fun gig. You know, you'd practice picking up the phone. Hello, 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 hello. Hello! And Jesus went through that. Just like you and I. Those feet that walked upon the water. Wobbly little things as he just learned to walk. Then he became an adult. And he went through every human emotion. The writer of Hebrews says he experienced everything that we did except for sin. He got hungry, he got tired, felt lonely. He was betrayed. And then, what did the humanity do? They hung him on a cross. And he died for all mankind. King of kings, whose arrival was so ordinary. He arrives in a really, really ordinary place. Again, we have sentimental views of Bethlehem. It was a bit of a two-bit town. The only thing that greeted Mary and Joseph was no vacancy signs. And the birth of this one that would change the human race, change human history, is welcomed by nothing more than angels and animals. In a little town called Bethlehem. It's pretty comforting for a guy like me. I was born in a town called Woi Woi and raised in Mundubbera. So I can relate to him. But along with his humanity, and it is true that God became flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He was definitely human, but he was also divine. And if we forget the divinity, we just get lost in the sentiment of Christmas. Because we can't leave him in a little stable in a manger. Away in a manger, again, even our lofty views, that's a feed trough for cattle. Talk about humility. But he's also divine. He's human, so I can relate to him, but he's divine, so he can rescue me. Rescue me from my sin, my mistakes, from everything that would hold me down. In the mid-90s, there was a singer called Jane Osborne. Joan Osborne, she posed a question, what if God was one of us? Well, Joan, he was. And he walked on this planet for 33 years. He taught so much. He did so many miracles and acts of kindness. The flesh was placed upon him. He dwelt amongst us. But the good news of Christmas, the good news of Emmanuel, was that he wasn't just with us. If he's just with us, he's nothing more than a prophet or a teacher. But he's God with us. I think there's a lot of emphasis on the with us, but he's God with us. Isaiah again in chapter 9 says, verse 6, we're singing these words this morning. For to us a child is born. For to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. How many are glad for that? The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In amongst the events in our nation in recent days, it's good to know Emmanuel is our peace. He is our peace. He's more than that cute little baby that we have images of at this time of year in a stable. He's God. He's the mighty God. There's a beautiful story that I love. I think I once read it more than a decade ago. It's a story of a farmer in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, we have these lofty things again. Here we are at the bottom end of the planet, and we sing, you know, about I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm not. I'm from Queensland. I'm dreaming of a sweaty Christmas. Somebody asked me once, what do you call a snowman in summer? Water. But in the Northern Hemisphere, we've got friends who've went to the Northern Hemisphere just to experience a white Christmas. I said, God bless, don't get chilblains. But in the Northern Hemisphere, this time of year can be so cold, and stories told of a farmer that was noticing this a funny noise, and he went to the window and he noticed this sight outside, and to his shock there was a small gathering of little birds that were fluttering outside his barn. And he thought, this is unusual. This is not the time of year I expect such a sight. They must have been blown off course by a strong storm as they were headed to warmer climate. So he thought, I need to help. I can't just let them perish out there in the snow. So he puts on a jacket, he goes outside, and he opens the barn door wide where there's warmth in there. And so he begins to just encourage them in. He tries to speak bird, but they looked at him like a cow at a gate. They didn't understand him. And so he made all these signals and tried to usher them in. Nothing. In fact, he thought, I'll try to get near them. And as he came near them, they were so afraid of him. He was so imposing. They ran away. Thought, I know what I'll do. I'll give them gifts. And so he grabs some grain and he throws it at them. And they didn't interpret his act of kindness that way. They thought he was throwing things. So again, they went away from the very place where they would be protected and saved. So he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll get some grain, and I'll go as close as I can to them. And they were shrinking back, but he gets some grain, and he makes this path all the way back into a place of safety. But they didn't budge. And he tried, and he tried, and he tried to help them. And eventually, he gave up. And he said, this just seems futile. If only I could become one of them, and I could show them what it means to come and be saved. That is the story of Christmas. We shrunk back from the creator of the universe. Only a few could ever get near him. They'd even put ropes around priests in case his presence took their life. He sent prophets. He sent all kinds of expressions of his goodness, but humanity didn't come near. He thought, you know what? This is not about them coming near to me. It's about me coming near to them. So Emmanuel, God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. This is why I get overwhelmed at Christmas. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. That whoever believes, friends, you might think, oh, I'm not good enough to ever become a friend of God. It's not about what you have done or ever could do. It's about what he has done. Like at Christmas, there's a giving of gifts and receiving. That's all you have to do. It's been offered. Just receive. A few years ago, we were at a family birthday. oldest grandson, I think, had turned 5 or 6. And all the little kids were buzzing around and having a bit of fun out on the veranda. They were giving gifts. And I still remember what somebody gave him a dinosaur. And one of my younger grandsons from my other son was really scared. And he said, "Don't be afraid. He's a herbivore." And we're having all this fun. And then I looked up the hallway and I saw our youngest grandson. He wasn't 2, he was probably 18 months or thereabouts. And he had a cousin from another part of the family who was actually a little older than him. But our grandson was a third child. You know what that means? Can do anything. He's learnt from the older ones. This other one was the first and hadn't quite learned what it was to walk. And I still remember one of the most tender moments as a granddad. I remember looking up the hallway and I watched our little grandson. Said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to run away from you." He got down on his hands and knees and crawled so the other one could crawl with him back to where all the fun was. And I thought, wow, that's just what Jesus did. But the difference between Jesus and that little moment was Jesus didn't just relate to us. He actually has the power to lift us so we can walk in victory and freedom and in cleansing, the only cleansing that can come because of his ultimate act of sacrifice. You see, the Christmas story is incomplete without Easter. Easter is actually part of the Christmas story. But Jesus didn't just come to relate to us. He died instead of us. But he didn't stay dead. Amen. And the same power that raised him from the dead is here with us today. And above and beyond, some people say, I feel something different at Christmas. I'll tell you what it is. Praise and adoration fills atmospheres and God's presence is invading and speaking to people. And so today, I want to pray for you, my friends. I wonder if you'd stand as the team come to join me. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God is with us. And in this moment, I'm going to lead you in prayer. Jesus came on a rescue mission. Would you bow your head across this room? What do you need to be rescued from? In those days, there was fear. You can't turn on a news report without sensing fear in our nation. But the message that we, the followers of Jesus, have is peace on earth. He is the Prince of Peace. So I pray for you. I pray for our community. I pray for our nation. This significant moment in our history. Pray for us this Christmas. That we wouldn't just be carriers of sentiment, but we would carry beyond that a message of salvation. That we can point people to where the barn is. That place of safety that comes out of relationship with God. And I want to pray for you, my friend. Pastor JJ and the team here are very kind. They love you. They want to help you. They want to encourage you. But they can't do what you need to do, and that is make your own decision to say yes to God. He's done everything possible for you to enter into relationship. He's come near. And even in this moment, the songs we've sung, things we've said and done on this platform today, you sense him knocking on your door of your heart. There's a verse in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, where Jesus is standing at the door of a church. He said, "I'm knocking, and if you'll open, I'll come in." He does that on the hearts of individuals as well. He says, "I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Would you just open it and let me in?" And I wonder if today, in this moment where we sense that God has come near, I wonder if we just need to place a hand on our heart, some of us, and say, "I'm opening this today, Lord. Come in. Break the fear. Undo the knots of shame and regret. Take the stain of sin. Change my life. Emmanuel. Come and change me. Help me, my God. That you place your hand on your heart. I pray for you today. That you would experience the wonder of God's extravagant love. That as you literally say, God, come in, he would come in. Change your life from the inside out. That you would know what it means. Become not only a friend with God, but part of his family. Where we can know him as Father. And I bless you. For those of us that have been away, I pray you'd experience the wonder of the welcome mat of a loving God that says, come home, child. I bless you. I wonder if we're followers of Jesus, if we just open our hands today, right now, right across this place. Would you join me in praying for family and friends that are just away from him? Would you join me in praying for our nation right now? Emmanuel, God, we thank you that you came close. We thank you that you are close. And today our hearts are for family, for friends that don't know you. Our heart is for our nation to know peace on this earth. Pray that we discover a new level of goodwill. Our prayer is, Lord, as you told us, your kingdom come. King of kings, Lord of lords, in and amongst all the stuff that we do at Christmas, I pray, Lord, for our nation to have a fresh understanding of your amazing grace. Well, that's what our nation needs, God. A fresh revelation of your amazing grace that is expressed to us through Emmanuel. And I pray blessing over our nation, over every household represented here, over our church today. We love you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, for Emmanuel. Come on, let's worship him.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.